listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Because Rod and Karen are hot.
What's your addiction? Is it money? Is it girls? Is it weed? I've been afflicted, but not one, but not two, but all three. She got the same thing about me, but it's more about us. She coming over, so I guess that means I'm a drug. Just let me peek now. I mean, dang, I'm so curious. She got a lover, so the lies and the lust is a rush. Times of the essence. I need you to be spontaneous. Roll up the Doja, Henny, and Coca-Cola. And then I'm coming over, cause it's never over. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Test Podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're in the house on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, Tuesday with the Blackout Tips, guys. One day away from Walking Dead Wednesday.
Yes.
And day 328 of Bobby Schmurder being locked up in jail with no trial.
None, y'all.
Find us on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search the Black Guy Who Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate those bad boys. We read them on the show if we like them. The official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport
is bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And the new Rod and Karen audio play album is finally out on iTunes. Also starring former show guests Nick Jew, Vanell, John Fouts, Thatcher, and Gina Simon. Listen to Rod educate on dating crazy. Go to a yard sale and cope with the world ending in Sunspot. 9 hilarious audio plays and all. Check it out on iTunes or search iTunes for Rod Morrow or Karen Morrow. It'll come up, guys. And let them know. You give them a 5-star review after you pick up that album. We appreciate everybody who takes time out to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I guess we should just get into all the news and stuff. I mean, there's plenty of stuff going on. Let's see. Let's talk about some news. First things first, the Missouri protesters, students that, have been speaking out lately. They had an area of campus where they were collecting in tents and stuff and, doing different, activities. And, this video went viral of this one, camera guy who's, part of the media. He's a freelancer, Tim Tai, and another cameraman, Mark, Shirebecker, I think, wanted to be allowed into this camp area. And Melissa Click, who was in the journalism department at the Missouri School of Journalism, actually,
you're off screen.
I'm off screen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me refresh that real quick. But so this professor, all right, let me get right back on screen here. All right, there we go. Yeah, so this professor of journalism actually blocked them from coming in and told everybody, I need some muscle, like some people to help come block it. People were standing in front of them putting their hands up so they couldn't take pictures and stuff, and it started this huge debate on Twitter, and there was this outrage from everybody about how you basically should, you're blocking the media out. That's the same thing that the cops in Ferguson did, and trying to, the comparisons are just completely not the same.
No, they're not.
I understand they're trying to say it's the principle of the matter, but comparing it to the abuses that cops were doing to fucking protesters who just don't want their pictures and shit to be on, whatever, it's completely asinine. Not to mention the relationship that many of those people have with the press is going to be a volatile one, because this is the same press that stood on their hands for years while this shit happened.
Mm-hmm.
And now you want immediate inside access to everything that's going on.
That you didn't earn.
You didn't build that relationship. Your coverage has turned those people against you because you haven't been covering these things with the fervor that it requires. You haven't been making this, you haven't been escalating these issues. Like, this shit happened in spite of you. You're supposed to have this huge, great journalism school there, and essentially y'all dropped the ball. So yeah, people might not feel comfortable with you. They might not trust you, and that trust has to be earned. Now I understand that the rule of the law is that you can just go in there and snap anybody pictures you want. It's just not executed that way. Unless you're gonna get the police down there to start arresting people for not letting you take their pictures.
Come on now.
The fuck are you gonna do?
Right. And people have the right to refuse to tell. And that's the thing. It's funny when it comes to the media, because these students also understand that you're not going to have any empathy or sympathy for them. They already have an idea that you're going to be more for the university, and you're going to ask fucked up questions, and you're going to irritate them. You just want your clips and your posts so you can take them and run them and chop and cut and screw however you want these clips to be, and make it sound however you want it to sound, because a lot of times you're not really coming in to get a story per se as far as what's really going on. You just come in to cover it, but your coverage isn't going to be unbiased. Your coverage, you know, and it's predominantly black students too, so they're looking at you like, where were you before? Like, when we were talking about this shit, you heard about it, you wasn't here, you were nowhere to be found, and now you want unlimited access to us, and we have the right to tell you no, we have the right to tell you that you can't be here.
Right. Well, the thing is, she's a journalism professor, so she knows a lot, and it's about ethics versus what's legal, really.
Right.
Ethically, if somebody tells you, I don't want my shit on camera, I don't want to interview you, I don't want to be interviewed by you, I would prefer for you to not be in my space. There's a lot of people in media that will be like, okay, I understand that, and I'm leaving it alone. But by the letter of the law, there's people that are just like, fuck that. And this brings up something that we talked about on the show a long time ago, when there were ladies on Twitter talking about what, there was a hashtag like, what were you wearing when you got raped? Mm-hmm. And that was the discussion going around. It was like, what did you have on when you got raped? And it was just people contributing, like, you know, just the varying things that they had on to show that this isn't about clothing or being slutty or what you're doing. Like, people are being raped when they're kids in their pajamas. There's people being raped when they're in the fucking burqa. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I remember at that time BuzzFeed and a bunch of places tried to take those tweets and put them in articles. And sure, by the letter of the law, they probably were okay. By the letter of the law, you know, ethically, they were wrong as fuck.
Yes, sir.
Ethically, there's already been established that you don't reveal rape victims, sexual assault victims' identities in your papers and in journalist publications typically. Ethically, you know, you try to protect those people from harm. You don't know those stories. You didn't get permission. You don't know, like, how many of those people might have not reported that rape, or who's, you know, who could possibly find out. Maybe their rapist could find out, or their, mm-hmm. you know, someone in their life now, a husband, a coworker, someone, just something they didn't, maybe they only shared it privately, whatever, you know, with the general understanding that, I'm not going to be on the front page of BuzzFeed tomorrow.
Right. If they known that, some of them might not have said a fucking word.
Right. So, at the time, I was like, I do understand the conflict, which is, hey, letter of the law, we can do this. Twitter's public, all this shit is archived, blah, 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 blah. Ethically, though, I don't see where you have a leg to stand on. They don't want it out there. Why would you do this?
Because you know, wouldn't want it done to you.
It reminds me of that guy we talked about a couple of days ago, where he was filming women on the street with his camera, while they, unbeknownst to them, like zooming in on their butts and shit like that. And a woman came and confronted him, and he tried to run off and hide and call, you know, like, fuck you and all this shit. But then at the end, he said something that was really poignant, where he said, basically, how do you know it's illegal? And it's not illegal what he was doing. You can do that. It's a public street. You can take your phone out and start filming and zooming in on women's asses and follow them down the street if you want to. Right. It's a public street. You can do that. That's how these people sound that are getting so fucking upset for this journalist dude, that wasn't allowed in. They sound like that to me, where it's like, well, I mean, this is right. If he wants to just go in there and take pictures and whatnot. Why can't he do that?
You, like, you want him to do that to you while you in there with your kids and your fucking dinner, coming there snapping pictures and shit? You would have a fit and tell him to get the fuck out. What's the difference?
Well, it is a difference. That's your private place of living and shit. It is different. It's, I'm not arguing whether or not it's legal or not. I know it's legal. I'm saying ethically, when they like, we don't want you here, and it sucks that he has to go back and be like, yo, they didn't want me there, and maybe that's why he put on the show of showing that he was not going to be allowed in. But you know, it just sucks, but that's the situation,
right?
And we're in 2015 where you can control what comes in and out of your camp the way you want to. It like, you can go on social media, you can release press releases, you can treat it that way. And honestly, these people have been forced to treat it that way. Mm-hmm. I saw several people, the guy who made the Wire, David Simon, was tweeting about some, wow, they're using the same tactics as big name corporations. Fuck you. Looks like you got lucky with the Wire. Because it's like, that's a fundamental misunderstanding. Like, if your thing is fairness, well, when corporations get to do this shit, it's okay.
Right.
They get to control their narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, talking about people that are put in dire situations. People that are being oppressed. People that are being discriminated against.
People that are being attacked.
And then you want to compare them to the cops and corporations? That's the fuck you think happened here? You think that's a fair comparison? Don't be stupid, man. Anytime the mostly white media is told no, they become the biggest egomaniacs on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Media people have huge egos and they hate being told no, they can't do something. And there was a whole lot of takedown pieces this morning, like, we're gonna show these kids. Yo, if this incident was enough to get you off of the side of the people who are like, I'm tired of being racially discriminated against and oppressed and attacked and harassed on campus, then you were never on their side.
Mm-mm.
You were never there, dog. If this is all it takes, look, activism, protest, it is never going to be pretty. And we have to stop kidding ourselves that the pretty protest and that if you do stuff in a certain way, it's going to work. It won't work. Okay? Like, maybe you guys need to start the polite activism society.
Come on.
And you can start going around being very polite and not getting shit done. Hey, guys, we were just wondering, if it's convenient to you, maybe you can stop calling us niggers on campus. I mean, hey, no promises, right? Whatever you guys can do. No? Okay. Well, we'll be trying to go get orange slices, guys. All right, let's get out of here. You know, like, hell no, we won't go unless you kind of want us to. I mean, it is getting kind of late and I don't want to keep you guys up, so we actually will go. We're gonna just go ahead and get out of here. You have a good one. Yeah. What do we want? Freedom. When do we want it? Whenever you can get around to it. I mean, just take your time. I mean, shit, don't really go out of your way. I mean, we wouldn't want you to like strain yourself.
Yeah, people use that excuse when it's quote unquote inconvenience for them and they don't want to deal with it and they don't want it in their face and they rather continue to ignore it.
Yeah, the thing that's weird to me is I didn't see them being withheld from being able to be there. They just couldn't be anywhere they wanted to be.
Right.
You know, and it's like they feel that it's a public space. You have zero right to any privacy and I can just roll up on whatever you're doing. And they got to find out that in practice it doesn't work that way.
Mm-mm.
Now, I don't know if they handled it right or not. This is not about me being completely in the camp of one side or the other. It's about me saying, if this is all it took for you to be like, fuck those students and their cause, you already were on that.
Right, which means you'd have got access to them and wrote fucked up slanted articles, and they know this. They're already stressed. They're already being attacked. They're already getting death threats. The last thing they need is the media coming in there writing these fucked up stories and putting it out there.
Right, and the fact that they talk, well, we're the only ones that can get your story out there. Guess what? You haven't done it so far.
Right.
We did that ourselves. So now what? Because it wasn't like y'all were covering this story and then suddenly it blew up Saturday night. No, all this shit was done with you guys not giving any fucks.
Until that dude left his position.
Yeah, no, until those students came out and said, we're not going to play football.
Yeah, my bad. Yes.
Done without the media's help at all.
Yes, sir.
Trust. The word will get out without you being around. No one needs you. We already know what the game plan is when the media comes in anyway. You want to pick one person and name that person the leader and the spokesperson for everybody. And then you want to fucking argue and debate and go through their past and try to take them down and the next person down and all this shit. And it's just so stupid and petty. And, you know, we've seen it. We've seen how stupid the media can be. You know, when I'm accused of getting funding from Hillary Clinton and the Koch brothers, and I'm just a guy that made a hashtag as a joke, I can't even imagine what it's like for actual people that get out there and do shit.
Come on now. And on top of that, I guess for me, you're talking about the same, media, like I said, they already come with their copy cut paste of what they're going to say and how they're going to approach this. And I agree. What's the difference between, before I lose my topic, the media is getting to the point that they realize, I'm not going to say the media is useless, but people are getting their sources of information outside of the mainstream media, and the media knows this.
Right.
And they want to control the narrative because they want people to come to them for the news. When people are like, no, fuck you, I'm getting my sources of information and my sources of news from these other outlets. These outlets that you even get your information and you even get your breaking news from. So why the fuck do I need you? And the thing is, the media doesn't ever want to be in a place where it feels like it's not needed.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen to this lady. I'm sure she's going to. You know, they say they're going to review her appointment. She's not actually a professor there. So, you know, I'm sure she'll be gone because that does violate journalism rules, that you can't just say, hey, you can't be here and shit. But it only prevents her from teaching journalism classes. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir.
You know. Sometimes people's mental health and social well-being is just placed above what the fuck you want to do with your camera.
Ain't that the truth?
Sorry, I don't have a better way to put that. Also, there's been a new update. Some words are getting added to the dictionary this year.
Ah, shit now.
And among those words are fleek and yes. They will be added to dictionary.com.
The white man's dictionary.
The white man's dictionary, Karen. So yeah, we'll be having some more slang. You can go, fleeked, according to dictionary.com, means flawlessly styled, groomed, etc. eyebrows on fleek. The fuck?
Right! It went from that to in the dictionary.
So
they need to pay that girl.
I know, right? If only you can get royalties on creating a word. But yeah, got some new dictionary words, guys. Let's see what else is going on. Lawyer says the body cam footage of a police shooting shows that the father of this guy, of this kid who got killed, had his hands in the air when Marshall shot and killed his son.
Oh, what happened?
Body camera footage described by one Louisiana police officer as the most disturbing thing I've ever seen. Reportedly shows Chris Few had his hands in the air and did not pose a threat when Marshall shot and killed his six-year-old son last week.
Oh!
His son, Jeremy Martis, was killed last Tuesday in Marksville, Louisiana, during a police encounter that has so far generated more questions than answers. According to the initial reports, the shootout, described by the marshals as an exchange of fire, began when Few backed his car into theirs. It ended with 18 shots fired into Few's car.
Goddamn.
Five of which hit Martis in the head and chest.
Oh!
But the self-defense explanation quickly seemed to fall apart. No weapons were found in Few's vehicle. There was no evidence to suggest any shots had been fired at the officers. And this week, the head of the Louisiana State Police Department went on record disavowing the car ramming story. Other reports that the marshals were in the process of serving a warrant on Few were also refuted this week.
Wow.
In the meantime, the two marshals, 32-year-old Lieutenant Derek Stafford and 23-year-old Reserve Officer Norris Greenhouse Jr., have been arrested and charged with second-degree murder and attempted second-degree murder.
Right. Start charging people. You start charging people, people won't do this bullshit.
But there is body camera footage of what happened. Mark Jeansom, an attorney for Few, has seen the footage. It says Few clearly had his hands in the air. This is not a threatening situation for the police. Jeansom reportedly told Associated Press after a closed hearing Monday. Both marshals are currently being held in jail on a $1 million bond.
Right. People to think twice. People need to think twice. And the weird part about it is that you have officers that go their whole career and never pull out a gun. Like all the years they've been on duty. Right. And then you have people like this where you're going, well, if it wasn't for the body cameras, you basically would have came up with a lie. You basically tried to say he attacked you, which they couldn't prove. You basically decided to say you put out a warrant, which you couldn't prove. So they got videos and body cameras and shit. And, you know, it's just one of those things where whenever, like you said, it's something about seeing that evidence. And the evidence was so bad that they couldn't cover for them even if they wanted to.
Right. And, of course, it's a white kid, and the police have been arrested already and charged with second-degree murder.
Right. Nothing was drug out. Nothing was dragged out. They wasn't suspended with pay. They wasn't sitting in their office doing office duty with pay. None of that.
Yeah, seeing this kid, you automatically go, this person's life was of value. That's all I'll say about that. Craig's police are creating safe exchange zones for Craigslist deals to keep them from going bad. Well, this is cool because one of the things that keeps me from doing some Craigslist shit is the fact that I'm scared about it.
Right.
Like some people just seem so like, oh, you just go out there, meet them and get right. And I'm like,
your daddy does it all the time. And I'm like, oh man, you do that, but yet you scared everything gonna get a virus. I don't understand.
Yeah, the rise of Craigslist and the easy online sale of unwanted computers and concert tickets has been accompanied by a dark side, the tense moment where strangers must meet to complete the deal. The stories are plentiful, a string of armed robberies in Prince George County in June, of people selling phones, a college student slain in Missouri in May after agreeing to sell a car on Craigslist, a job seeker in Ohio killed and buried by a farmer.
Goddamn.
But a new idea is emerging with local police departments around the country to combat the problem, a safe exchange zone, clearly marked in the parking lot of a well-lit police station or even in the lobby of the police station for people to meet and sell their goods with less fear of a quick or violent ripoff. The practice appears to have started last year in Boca Raton, Florida, spread through Central Florida and then through law enforcement grapevine to police parking lots and lobbies throughout the country. Leesburg and Fairfax City in Northern Virginia have adopted the approach in recent months as a way to give online buyers and sellers a sense of security when they meet. I like it. Like I said, I mean, obviously, I'm sure there might be some shady shit going on through Craigslist. You probably don't want to meet
at the police station
for that one.
But if you on the up and up, you're like, fuck yes.
Yeah, but if you just like, hey, I'm selling this Xbox, you might want to do that. Although, you know, if you're black, be careful.
Right. Do you?
They might be like, why are you picking up that PlayStation?
Right.
You do fit the description.
Ain't that the truth? I mean, do you let them know, hey, at 2:00 I'm coming, so they'll know that you're coming in now?
I don't know. I mean,
do we set up appointments?
I mean, you could just walk up in there, I'm assuming. I mean, I don't know. No idea, Karen. I don't feel like reading that article the rest of the way. So go look it up yourself. Let's see what's going on. Wait, can't remember if this article is Guess the Race or just, oh yeah, it was. All right, that's in the wrong place. How about this? Why you shouldn't force your kids to hug people. That's right. The holidays are coming up. Many of you guys have young children. And it's going to be time to hug Aunt So-and-so's neck.
Yeah.
And you know that kid hates Aunt So-and-so. They scared of them little hairs on her neck.
Right.
And they don't want to hug her. But you say, listen, little baby, you got to do it. Or do you? When my daughter was 2 years old, we visited my husband's grandparents for Christmas. When my great-grandma leaned in for a hug, the daughter shrieked, no, I don't like that old lady. She looks like a witch, and ran away. I'm a firm believer in supporting my children's choices about their bodies, but I was embarrassed. Great grandma is in her early 90s and very traditional. We don't get to see her often, and when we do, I want my kids on their best behavior. Lori Day, an educational psychologist and author, describes this typical family interaction. Children can be fickle and unpredictable at family gatherings.
Yes, they're children.
It is important that the parent affirms the boundaries that children set, even if it means running from great grandma. Day argues that when parents force unwilling children to give grandma hugs or an honor kiss, they teach the children that they have no bodily autonomy and the needs of adults supersede the needs of children. Kari O'Driscoll, a writer and mother of two tween girls, is a firm believer in instilling physical boundaries early on. She says members of her family were sexually assaulted by people they loved and trusted. So even before her daughters could talk, she taught them that they had the right to make the choices with their own bodies. My father-in-law was really offended when my oldest daughter didn't want to hug or kiss or to sit on his lap when he read her the book. He spent a lot of time talking to her about how to be polite and firm. I think it sent her a strong message, and as she got older, she was able to articulate to her friends that she loves them, but she needs physical space. The recent Facebook post from Planned Parenthood, Ottawa, below, offers a wave as an alternative. They suggest parents encourage their kids to give a high five or a handshake instead of a more intimate hug or kiss.
And that's understandable.
It's okay to say no hugs, they say.
Mm-hmm. And I don't force children to hug me. Like, even smaller children, you know, I'm like, cool. Like, and I don't get offended. I don't take it personal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care one way or the other. It's kind of weird. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like people jump to the extreme where, like, telling your kid to hug grandma is also going to say to that kid, well, it's okay if you get sexually assaulted by your uncle.
No, that's not the
same. And I think that's a leap as well.
Yes, that is.
But, you know, ultimately, you know, I think being raised around loving, caring family and having good bonds and people that care about you supersedes a lot of these small personal choices that people make. You know, I'm of the mind where if your kid doesn't want to hug somebody, that's fine. I don't know why you would make them have to hug somebody, but at the same time, if they did say, hey, hug grandmama or whatever, I don't think it would be the end of the world. I think also that was in a way how I learned, you know, about the people that care about me, you know, because sometimes you are like, oh, this is grandmama, she's old, and that's what aging looks like, and we're all gonna get old. Mm-hmm. And grandma still loves you and whatnot, and maybe you have to learn that over time. You know, maybe you don't have that kind of relationship right away, but eventually you will, you know, through the acts that they do, because kids do learn. It's not like the first time they see grandma is gonna be the only time they ever see her and only time they ever care,
right?
You know. But I don't know, man. I don't think you should force your kid to hug people if they don't want to.
Mm-mm.
But I also don't think if you do that you become a horrible parent that's okay with your kid being raped, okay?
Come on now. Yeah, that's dumb too now.
I would like to say I think people go way too hard sometimes on this shit. You know, good. I know it's a lot of tradition for people, so maybe that's why they do it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of people take it really personal when you're like, it's a child.
Right.
They fickle. You know, who knows what the fuck they want or how they're feeling. I mean, they're children, just like you aren't the same every day of the week. They not either.
And I've seen shifts. I've seen this shift in my lifetime. Like, I do remember when I was a kid that it was very much like, nigga, you better get over there and hug so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
And now, as an adult, I see more people with their kids being like, well, she's not a hugger. She's not very, you know, she's just da 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 da. Or he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really want to give anybody a kiss. He's okay with that. And it's like, cool. You know, it's not a problem.
Mm-mm.
You know, I do think the way that you treat children matters, and it's especially in their formative years and shit, it can affect them for long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's some guys that, you know, used to be the, oh, you hug and kiss your son, that's gay. You know, so. I do feel like all this shit kind of matters, but hopefully you just, you know, treat your kids well,
right? Like small people, because that's what they are. They're small people.
Hopefully, even if you're telling them to go hug grandpa, you're also telling them that doesn't mean anybody can touch them in their bathing suit parts. I mean, I hope
ain't that the truth.
Hope people are giving both sides of the discussion here. I hope you're not just throwing your kids out there. Let's see what else is going on. There's a good chance that salmon, that pricey wild caught salmon that you've been buying at these restaurants, is mislabeled.
Oh shit. What is it? Regular caught salmon?
A new study from the ocean conservation advocacy group Oceana reveals that nearly half of the salmon sold in U.S. grocery stores and restaurants isn't what it's chalked up to be. The researchers obtained 82 fish samples from various regions, including New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C., and found that a whopping 43% was mislabeled.
Right, and they should be sued for this, for the simple fact that they goddamn charge you an arm and a leg. Your shit go from $3.499 a pound to $15.99 a pound because they're like, ooh, it's wild.
In 69% of cases, farm fish were being sold as pricier, more desirable wild-caught salmon. After other samples were labeled as a specific type of salmon, like Chinook, I don't know. But testing showed that they were actually a different and usually cheaper species. So they just did price gouging.
Right, because they know that when it comes to salmon, people are willing to pay more. And you can actually tell the difference in the taste, because I like salmon steaks and different forms of salmon.
Yeah, but can you tell the difference, Karen?
No, because not eating
it. When 43% is mislabeled, you don't know what the fuck you've been eating.
That's true, but depending on the type of fish, you could go, okay, this don't taste good, like your taste buds will tell you, but other than that, no.
I don't know that means. So what, which one tastes good? Is it the wild caught or not wild caught?
Oh, that I don't know.
Right, I have no idea. I mean, it's just one of those things where if they want to gouge you, they gonna gouge you,
because they know they can, because they know average people that eat fish aren't fucking fish experts.
Salmon is the most popular fish in America, with almost 870 million pounds consumed a year. There's a couple ways to mitigate mislabeling. Buy salmon yourself at a grocery store rather than ordering it in a restaurant. Oceana's report says consumers are much more likely to get mislabeled fish in a restaurant 67% of the time. Wow.
Goddamn.
So you basically have a 1 out of 3 chance of getting
the wrong fish.
No, 1 out of 3 chance of getting the right fish.
Oh, so most of the time what you order ain't what you're gonna get. Oh, so when they be like, salmon BLT, salmon salad, shit like that, is not what it's supposed to be.
67% of the time it's not.
Well, goddamn.
Versus a grocery store, only 20% of the time is it, mislabeled. Only shell out the big bucks for wildcat salmon when it's in season. Oceana study was conducted in the winter of 2013-2014 when wild salmon was out of season. Comparison to an earlier study indicates the mislabeling is much less common at the peak of wild salmon season, which is typically in the midsummer when the supply is plentiful.
So, you know, they sell it all year round, and even though the shit out of season, they're like, hey, we got this calculated in our cost, we're not going to drop it $2 or $3 because it's quote unquote not the salmon it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, watch your back out there, guys. Got this fake salmon
going on,
paying too much.
Right,
I need to just do some other fish, get some tilapia or something,
some flounder, some catfish. Mm-hmm.
Who knows what catfish is?
Oh, damn, no, who knows. Catfish, they the bottom of the ground, so who knows the catfish. Yeah. You could probably can't even tell what catfish is.
50 Cent and Rick Ross continue their war on words on Instagram.
Why?
It all started when 50 posted an image of Rosé's torso in a t-shirt, and he said he's planning to sell for $2.95. Ross called out Fifth's bankruptcy L's and said he's now working for MMG Merch Co. .co by promoting Ross's clothing. Now things have turned up a notch after the Queens native took more shots at black market rapper. Ross's correctional officer days were revisited, and 50 also posted a picture of Rosé's face in regards to Meek Mill and Drake's lyrical beef. He posted a picture of Rick Ross. And it looked like he's sweating, and he said, 50 Cent said, this is how you look when Drake did your man dirty. Laugh my ass off. This the new official MMG emoji. Look, but don't say nothing, y'all. It's him biting his mouth, biting his tongue, I guess.
Oh, he done got skinny and lost a lot of weight, so he even got them old pictures.
Yeah.
But he's skinny now.
I don't know about skinny, but okay. He has lost some weight.
Well, skinnier.
He also posted a picture of Rick Ross from when he was a correctional officer. It said, okay, this is a good movie. A correctional officer who raps like a drug dealer till he believes it, then kidnaps and beats his groundskeeper as his record sales dwindle to nothing. So he marries a 22-year-old stripper his crew already ran through to make sure someone will visit him. Laugh my ass off. Kermit emoji. Basically, the T and the frog. Wait, I want to buy the movie rights. Hashtag effing vodka. Hashtag frigo. Hashtag SMS audio. Then he posted a picture of what looks like a little kid. It says, when y'all gonna get the chain back, man? I guess the chain from a little kid. Laugh my ass off. I know you been busy. You didn't get around to it. I don't know what that means. That didn't go unnoticed by MMG boss, who took to Instagram after mentioning 50 Son. At 50 Cent, your son applied to be an intern at Untouchable Mag. Well, at Untouchable MMG. And it will be processes. Come on, Rick, you gotta get the, if you're gonna be talking shit, you gotta get the, as you well know, I got 40 cars, 200 acres and a mower with his name on it. I'm what you used to be. Hashtag black market December 4th, he wrote. Yeah.
You know, Instagram ain't got no limits.
Took a picture of his cars and said, at Rich, this is Rich Forever. So I guess that must be, Rick Ross's thing. At 50 Cent, that was, yeah, your son wanna be a, okay. A video service of Rick Ross talking about that beef. Some more.
You see? Them niggas wake up with me on their mind, nigga. I wake up with money on my mind. And I'm gonna get a nigga son a job for real. Like, what you gonna do it?
Okay. He said, I'm gonna get the nigga son a job for real. I wasn't gonna do it. 50 Cent says, when I get back, you gotta say this to my face, girl. This wasn't a good idea. I'll make it easy. I'll come wherever you are at, wherever you are at, bitch. Now see if Puffy or anybody can help you now. Rick.
You see? Them niggas wake up with me on their mind, nigga. I wake up with money on my mind. And I'm gonna get a nigga son a job for real. Like, what you gonna do it?
So... oh well, this is I guess it's better than rap album sales these days.
Right. Meanwhile, on Instagram,
yippee-ki-yo,
yippee-ki-yo.
Vivica Fox also kind of got into it. She was on Watch What Happens Live, which is the show that comes on after
Housewives.
Real Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
She was doing an interview and talked about 50 Cent.
What were your thoughts when 50 Cent blamed the second season ratings dip on gays?
No.
Okay. That froze.
Oh, what happened?
I don't know.
Stop. First of all, you know, the pot calling the kettle black is all I'm saying.
Ooh, the pot calling the kettle black.
Whoa. That was some tea. Now that was major tea.
I'm calling the kettle black. So, I mean, you're not insinuating that
he's gay?
Set is...
Oh. Oh. Oh, my Lord, please. What?
Girl, we gotta talk after this episode. Wait, Vivica A. Fox, what are you insinuating?
He gave you...
No, he's not. I mean, we had a great time. I mean, but he's just seems like he's got something that's not quite clear. So
you mean sometimes if people protest too much about something,
yes,
the fire is happening right there in front of them.
Absolutely. I just never forget there was a vibe cover with him and Soulja Boy that made me kind of go,
I am so glad we are supersized tonight because we have a lot to talk about.
You know that people are going to be Googling that vibe cover right now. Tag me so I can see.
So you saw the cover and you thought, were you with him at the time that the cover came out?
Absolutely not.
You were not?
Yeah.
No.
You just look like a booty snatcher on that one to me.
Oh, wow.
A booty snatcher.
What the hell is a booty snatcher?
I'm assuming gay. Soulja Boy posted a picture of Vivica and said, everybody hit up this cougar. She's single, ready to mingle. 1-800 Granny desperate for attention extension. I'm washed up. 50 Cent also replied to that and said, oh no, now she thinks I'm gay because I let her lick my ass, laugh my ass off. Wait, I didn't want her to. She forced me. My hands are tied. 50 Shades of Grey. An old tweet has since surfaced that fans think might have been about Vivica. I feel sorry for you niggas who ain't me. Something blanked out. Got this freak licking on my asshole right now. Just thought I'd share that with you. Which is from September 13, 2010. He's trolling her on Instagram. 50 Cent said, waiting on 50 to respond to Vivica like, and then posted a picture of Kevin Hart. And he says, man, somebody should have told her I'm a troll. I got my asshole merit badge on now. So yeah, they posted that picture of him with Soulja Boy. And it was weird. There were like two dudes with their shirts off hugging on the cover of rap magazines. Like, oh, who let that slide? Posted a picture where her boob looked like it was half inflated. Said, really bad boob job. Said, bitch, remember when you told me fuck Halle Berry and you could have played all the roles she did better than her? And I just looked at you like, did that, he put the eye emoji, like, did that fucking kind of shit did she take? What kind of fucking shit did she take? Laugh my ass off. Damn, he's going in.
Yeah, 50's an ass.
Yeah, he's,
Instagram was made for him, boy.
I know, man. Of all the people, he definitely takes the time and has the time to be petty as possible.
Right.
Like, it ain't nothing to him. Another picture said, no comment necessary, just a close up of her face when she was making a weird face. Basically, he talked about her having plastic surgery and stuff. So, oh boy. 50 was petty supreme, dog. You're not gonna fucking get over on him. Sorry.
The internet age is made for him.
Starbucks red cup controversy explained. I've been seeing this a lot too, and I don't know what the fuck
they talking about. I just see Starbucks with a bunch of red cups.
Right. Apparently, Starbucks used to have cups for every holiday season. They would have like quote unquote Christmassy things on them, you know, like little decorations and whatnot. But they changed it to just kind of a plain red cup now.
Right, make it simple. Cut back on costs. I know ain't nobody got time for 14 different goddamn cups.
Yeah, they toned down to just the amber red cup designs on November 1st. In a recent press release, Starbucks vice president set of the design and content, Jeffrey Fields, explains the plain red cups, devoid of Christmas trees or ornaments of years past. They're part of an effort to usher in holidays with a purity of design that welcomes all of our stories.
Right, because we're not unified. Everybody doesn't celebrate the same thing. And like I said, you got 14 different cups that are all going to end up in the trash. For why?
So this one dude got 15 million views talking about it.
Hey guys, what's up? Josh Christine here. You know, I think in the age of political correctness, we become so open-minded, our brains have
Hey, Wilford, ain't we covered something else with this dude?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a big-time YouTuber that gets a lot of clicks off of saying
dumb
stupid
shit. Okay.
All right, so here we go.
I'm so open-minded, our brains have literally fallen out of our head. Do you realize that Starbucks wanted to take Christ and Christmas off of their brand new cups? That's why they're just plain red. In fact, do you realize that Starbucks isn't allowed to say Merry Christmas to customers? Well, I decided, instead of simply boycotting, well, why don't we just start a movement? So when I went in and I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what, Starbucks? I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup. And I'm challenging all great Americans and Christians around this great nation, go into Starbucks and take your own coffee selfie. And then I challenge you to not only share this video so that the word gets out, but let's start a movement. And let's call it, I don't know, hashtag Merry Christmas Starbucks. And I know that by sharing this video and getting other Christians to do it, well, I guarantee that we can make this go around the world. And Starbucks, guess what? Just to offend you, I made sure to wear my Jesus Christ shirt into your store, and since you hate the Second Amendment, I even carried my gun. Yikes. Anyways, guys, please take a moment. Choose to not be politically correct, just correct. Share the video, like, comment below. I want to know your thoughts. God bless. Have a really, really beautiful day.
This dude is goddamn insane. So how are you offending Starbucks by buying, by doing this campaign so that more people buy their expensive ass shit and make them more money? You think they give a fuck about writing Merry Christmas as long as you pay $8.95 for the large frappe? No.
How long until one of them pulls a gun on somebody like, say Merry Christmas, motherfucker! Say it! Oh, please, Merry Christmas! I know you hate Jesus! I'm Christian, sir, I just work here. Shut up, Mr. Starbucks!
I'm not Mr. Starbucks! I don't think that's not the CEO's name!
Right. Good grief.
There's nobody here that ain't Starbucks.
We really don't have anything to complain about in this country anymore.
Yeah, I bet you Starbucks was like, good. And hope you and all your friends continue to share this and send people to our stores.
What's going on here? He sounds like a wrestler.
Right.
What's going on here, fellow Christians? We're just going to go on down there, brother.
I'm just going to go out here and get somebody to figure eight, and I'll be right back, guys.
Figure eight is skating.
Well, shit, do it twice.
Put them in a leg lock, make them put down Jesus Christ. When they ask you what your name is, just say Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
And make sure to write it.
Right. Then when you bring up your cup, you say, hey, you're saved. You're saved now, buddy. You're welcome. Chipotle's E. coli scare is over with. Restaurants are back to being open this week.
I went by a goddamn thing from there.
Yeah, Karen won't let me go to Chipotle no more, y'all.
Fuck that noise.
I love Chipotle. They got that that good E. coli there. So good.
Not right now. They got to prove to me that they clean.
Apparently, there's an 89-year-old stand-up comedian. He wanted to try stand-up comedy for the first time ever. His name is Chuck Easterly.
Making his stand-up debut at 89 years old. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Chuck Easterly.
Thank you. Everybody here at the comedy club has been very nice to me. Old new guy, I guess you say. And the manager, he wished me well, and he said, don't die up there. I think he was talking about my jokes. When I left the home tonight, my wife said, break a leg. The manager said, break a hip. I guess you're wondering why a guy would get up here at my age and make a fool of himself, but I think it's because I'd like to prove to you and to myself that just because you get old, you don't have to stop having fun, and surprising things happen every day. Take, for instance, last summer. I was working out in the yard, and across the street, I saw this gorgeous young widow start coming over toward me. She came up, looked me right in the eye, and she said, I know your wife is out of town, and I'm feeling a little horny, and I would like to have a few drinks and some wild sex. Are you busy tonight? I said, no. And she said, great, would you mind watching my dog?
adorable 89-year-old stand-up comedian, right? Apparently he's not adorable, he's a goddamn joke thief, Karen.
Oh,
that's right, according to slate.com, they found out the secret. He is stealing jokes
At 89?
Mm-hmm.
Who got time to steal anything at 89?
I don't know.
Shit, you done live long enough to come up with your own. You got a bookload of life stories you can joke on.
Yeah, apparently the joke about the penis enlarger he had was stolen. People were retweeting it from a tweet from September 3rd, 2013 by It's Willie Farrell, which is not Will Farrell, which I don't understand those Twitter accounts and why people follow him.
Right?
You gotta be fucking stupid. Apparently he made a joke. I called my family together a few months ago, sat them down and said, in no way do I want to live in a vegetative state. Kept the lie by a machine and fed liquid from a bottle. If that happens, pull the plug. They got up and pulled the plug on my computer and threw away my wine. That also is a joke that's been going around since 2007.
Oh.
He's just stealing a bunch of jokes, guys. All these jokes he found on the internet, and he went up there in his cute old man ways and stole them.
Yes, he did.
So, yeah. Are you proud of yourselves, internet? You hoisted up this hero, but he's been taken down. Fuck you, Chuck Esterly, you joke thieving old motherfucker.
Shit, I get 89, I tell some jokes, they're gonna be good, they're gonna be all goddamn original. I promise you, I'd live long enough to tell a lifelong story of jokes.
Mm-hmm. No.
Shit, probably live long enough to do it now.
Yeah, so go to hell, Chuck, you old piece of shit, you joke thieving son of a bitch. Joe's Crab Shack is the first major chain to drop tipping.
Good.
Yeah, nothing really to see here. Just good. And I hope that means their employees can get a livable wage.
Yeah, and
some benefits.
And for Joe, well, we never been to Joe's while they were popping and jumping. But when they're popping and jumping,
I've been there while they were popping and jumping.
Oh, you know they do those lines and dancing and shit to distract people. Yeah, you want me to do that, but you won't pay me $2.13 an hour.
Right.
I got a fucking Congo line. Come on.
The kitchen gets behind. I got to start dancing and shit.
Right. And congoing around drunk folks wasting time.
Yep. Fast food workers walked out in 270 cities today in support of a living wage.
Good.
Which we talked about on the show before. I don't really care to go too deep into it again because I support it. And, you know, I don't think just they should be making more. I think you need to stop being petty and you should be making more as well.
Right. Everybody's wages actually need to go up.
The misplaced stupidity of your jealousy is holding back your own blessings because you worried about motherfucking if a guy at McDonald's makes more than you. When not just completely ignoring the fact that, you know, these jobs are hard work. People are in tough situations and not everybody is going to just magically wave a magic wand and be in school and have, you know, the privilege and the access and the opportunities to be able to get that shit done. But it doesn't mean that they shouldn't be able to survive. They're putting in an honest 40 hours of work every week they're allowed to.
Right. And that's if they can get it. And, you know, people need to drop the, I know we talked about this before, but people need to drop the myth that these jobs are for goddamn teenagers. A lot of teenagers can't get these jobs because people are old to get them and keep them.
Yeah. So, you know, good for them, man. We'll see what happens. I saw a bunch of people arguing, about the minimum wage on Twitter today. And I just had to hit the ignore button because I was just like, come on, guys. See too many people that are just fucking stupid about this.
Right.
What else happened? That I feel like talking about. Hawaiian man who's accused of murder claims he was possessed by Jay-Z. Hov. Jason Russell Jump, 39, is accused of allegedly bludgeoning his landlord James V. Johns to death with a sharp instrument. What they got to do with Jay-Z?
Mm-hmm.
Oh well, these life and times. At a contested fitness hearing October 9th, Dr. Duke Wagner said Jump allegedly told him authorities should put Jay-Z in prison for the murder of James John to put other members of the Illuminati who've been attacking Jump in prison too. Multiple psychologists have examined him since his arrest December 17, 2012, but the examiners cannot agree on whether or not he's fit for trial. All three examiners were given a video of Jump film before the murder to watch. In the video, he allegedly referred to the Illuminati and addressed himself or described himself as the son of man. He also allegedly complained about a pain in his stomach that he believed to be caused by possession. What if he's right? Jay-Z just picked just this random guy to go kill some people. Was like, you know what? This part of my Illuminati benefits. I'm not getting all my package. Go ahead and use up some of my murdering ghost possession powers. For his part, Wagner testified that Jump was unfit to stand trial, adding that he suffers from persecutory delusional disorder. However, a Sega psychologist, the state's designated examiner, Dr. Alex Lichten, testified that he was unaware of Jump's claims, but he believes that accused to be fit for trial nonetheless. The third examiner, psychiatrist Dr. Leonard Jacobs, told the court that while he was only able to speak to Jump for 10 minutes, he believes Jump is fit to stand trial, adding that he was uncooperative and left the meeting of his own volition. Jacobs also testified that he thought the video simply showed a man who was high on drugs. Yep. What if he was in court trying to act like Jay and shit? sir, we don't believe you. But Paul, another song, huh? What are you talking about? Hove, sir, can you have a seat, please?
Why are those children in here?
Is the high neck life for us?
It's the Rock.
I know. Get those children out of here, sir.
Sir, you're on Rocks.
Yes, you are.
Anyway, you picked Jay-Z. Well, you know what, Jay-Z? Shame on you if you did that. That is not cool. Can't believe you would try some bullshit like that. Lord. Yep. All right, let's do our newest, most popular segment, all about Ben Carson. Let me get the song out. Oh wait, I forgot to tell y'all. Some people were giving me bad reviews on my remix of the Ben Carson song.
Why?
I don't know. And I realized what it was. It might not have reached enough of the audience. Maybe it didn't have enough sound effects and stuff in it. So I may have added some more stuff today. Okay?
Carson America.
All right.
What the hell is happening?
What? People were saying that it wasn't enough yesterday and that it still wasn't swearing their vote and getting them to vote for Ben Carson. So I thought if I remixed it, then maybe they would. You know, maybe enough to get the black vote on Ben Carson's side, okay?
Okay, yeah.
He admitted that a key part of his life story was false and other parts looked fishy. Ben Carson is currently leading the polls for the Republican presidential nomination, by the way. Debate is at 9:00 tonight. He appears to have lied for more than 2 decades about getting a scholarship to the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Oh, damn. In his 1990 memoir, Gifted Hands, TM, which was subsequently added into a TV movie starring Cuba Gooding Jr. as Carson. Carson recalls meeting General William Westmoreland at a Memorial Day parade his senior year of high school. Carson was active in junior ROTC as a teenager. Later, I was offered a full scholarship to West Point, he writes. At the end of my 12th grade year, I marched at the head of Memorial Day Parade. I felt so proud, my chest bursting with ribbons and braids of every kind. To make it more wonderful, we had important visitors that day. Two soldiers who had won the Congressional Medal of Honor in Vietnam were present. Why did that pop up? More exciting to me, General William Westmoreland, very prominent in the Vietnam War. Wow, he puts a space between Vietnam. I thought that was all one word. Attended with an impressive entourage. Afterward, Sergeant Hunt introduced me to General Westmoreland, and I had dinner with him and the Congressional Medal winners. Later, I was offered a full scholarship to West Point. I didn't refuse the scholarship outright, but I let them know that a military career wasn't there. I saw myself going. As overjoyed as I felt to be offered such a scholarship, I wasn't really tempted. The scholarship would have obligated me to spend 4 years in the military. Well, Kyle Cheney at Politico called West Point and found that it had no record of Carson applying, let alone being admitted.
When he leads the poll, what the fuck is happening?
In 1969, those who would have completed the entire process would have received their acceptance letters from the Army Adjutant General, said Teresa Brinkerhoff. Okay, Brinkerhoff. Spokeswoman for the Academy, she said West Point had no records that indicate Carson ever began the application process. If he chose to pursue the application process, we would have records indicating such, she said. When Cheney confronted Carson's campaign with these facts, they conceded that no scholarship offer had ever been made. He was introduced to folks from West Point by the ROTC supervisors. They told him they could help him get an appointment based on his grades and performance in the ROTC. He considered it, but in the end did not seek admission. The political story initially took this as an admission that Carson had lied, but Carson's campaign subsequently clarified that they didn't think Carson's account was misleading at all. They called a political report an outright lie, despite conceding that he never did get a formal offer from West Point of any kind. Other parts of his past appear fabricated as well. The blockbuster political report comes a day after the devastating CNN segment suggesting Carson had made up other stories about his youth. The network Scott Glover and Maeve Reston report in his 1990 autobiography, Gifted Hands, the Ben Carson story, the Carson describes those acts as flowing from an uncontrollable pathological temper. The violent episodes he has detailed in his books and public statements and in his interviews include a punching a classmate in the face with his hand wrapped around a lock, leaving a bloody 3-inch gash in a boy's forehead, attempting to attack his own mother with a hammer following an argument over clothes, hurling a large rock at a boy which broke the youth's glasses and smashed his nose, and finally thrusting a knife at the belly of his friend with such force that the blade snapped when it luckily struck a belt buckle covered by the boy's clothes. But when Glover and Reston spoke to 9 friends, classmates, and neighbors who grew up with Carson, none of them recall Carson being that violent. I don't know nothing about that, classmate Gerald Ware told CNN. It would have been all over the whole school. Carson's campaign has stood by Carson's accounts of these violent episodes. Why would anyone cooperate with your obvious witch hunt? Campaign advisor Armstrong Williams told CNN in an email. No comment and moving on. Happy Halloween. In an interview with Fox's Megyn Kelly, Carson dove down on the story of stabbing a friend, but being stopped by a belt buckle, saying that the story concerned a close relative but declining to say who. In a subsequent interview with CNN, Carson angrily dismissed the network's report as a bunch of lies.
He the best.
A pamphlet published by the Draft Ben Carson Pack leaves no question that this tale is his main selling point under the heading Ben Carson is what America is all about. Ben Carson grew up in dire poverty. He was called dummy by his classmates and he had a terrible temper, but Dr. Carson's mother did not give up on him. His mother worked as a domestic cleaning other people's homes, noting that many of these homes had a large collection of books. After praying about it, this single mother turned off the TV and required her 2 sons to read 2 books a week and write reviews for her. Note the terrible temper detail. As Desmond Harris wrote, Carson used to use this tale as a motivational lesson for black youth, as proof that they too could overcome adversity and become successful professionals and even path-breaking surgeons. In his autobiography, Gifted Hands, it was required reading that made Carson into a black household name and a fixture of African American History Month presentations. Mark Hatcher, a 33-year-old Howard University PhD candidate in physiology and biophysics, isn't a Carson supporter today, but he vividly remembered how gifted hands affected him when he read it as a 15-year-old. Oh yeah, a lot of people remember that. So yeah, apparently he's had some issues.
Mm-hmm.
So he says he's not lying, so I guess we gotta believe that he's not lying, guys. Yep. Another Ben Carson tale implodes. No evidence that he supports that the claim that he shielded white classmates in a 1968 race riot. Now I do believe this, by the way. I don't even want to read the facts. He probably did shield them white folks. He's like, no Negroes, get away from these good, pure, heavenly white folks.
My future clients, beat it.
The Wall Street Journal is going back to fact check a claim Carson made last month in which he said he shielded white students from rioting after the assassination of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. The journal could find no evidence the event occurred. It may have happened, but I didn't see it myself or hear about it, said Gregory Vartanian, a white high school classmate of Carson who was in the ROTC with him and is now a retired U.S. Marshal. In Carson's account to the journal last month, black students unleashed fury and grief over the slaying of King on white classmates at Detroit Southwestern High. As a junior, Carson had a key to the biology lab because he worked there part-time. Carson claiming he had a few frightened white students inside to shield them from arrest. He could not recall any of their names.
Of course not. Neither could they yours.
He reverse underground railroaded that shit.
Listen here. Don't panic. I'm gonna get you to freedom.
White people, follow me to freedom.
There's cheese on the other side.
The black people came and they was like, where are them crackers? We gonna kill them. I believe you want the classroom over there.
To the right.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Ben. No problem. None of the half dozen former classmates of Carson or his high school physics teacher could recall white students hiding from rioting in the biology lab when interviewed by the journal, though they all remembered the riot itself. So
the riot was real.
The riot was real, but okay. There's no evidence that his claims are or aren't true, apparently. So who knows? Maybe he was telling the truth. Maybe he did protect them white folks.
Who knows?
I believe him. Anyway,
kudos, but you know, doing the right thing.
That's been today in Ben Carson. Play me out.
Carson America.
Ladies, you wear the right
home. Just a little real sexy at the end.
Well, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a fart in there. Cartoon explosions, a boing. all right, well, hopefully that sways everybody. I would hate to have to add more stuff to it. I mean, hopefully that's enough, you know,
to tame the beast.
We'll see what they say on Twitter tomorrow and if everybody's ready to vote for Ben Carson. If not, I'll be forced to go back and add some more stuff to keep it fresh till we get the Negro vote. let's do fuck with black people too, because I don't know, times is hard out there, guys. We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. It's time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game where we read articles from all around the globe and we assign point scores from 0 to 100 at intervals of 25 for how much we feel fucked with. Today's contestants, everybody. Coming out with a cold or something. Anyway,
you okay? Need hot tea? Anything?
We don't have time to do that during the show.
Oh, my bad.
Texas troopers were caught skewing racial profiling data, labeling Hispanics and blacks as white.
What?
That's right. A recent investigation revealed that racial profiling data gathered by Texas Department of Public Safety could not be trusted because some troopers have been labeling minority drivers as white.
Yeah, because they won't skew the numbers.
Yeah, so they don't look racist. Like, oh, we're going to pull over niggas, but we just going to say they white people.
Because it's convenient here. Any other time, we the mock nigga.
Right? How fucked up is that? Like, we want to be racist so bad, we'll lie. Wow.
Right, that's why you cannot allow them to police themselves. And that's why I was very disappointed in the attorney general for saying that she didn't want, you know, them to step in and shit like that. It's like, you can't believe their goddamn data. You just can't.
Right. Wow. Wow.
Right. And it's one of those things where it's systematic. Even people that's in the departments that's honest, you know, their numbers are skewed by the people that are not telling the truth.
Right, so they just want to be like, yeah, we pull over white people too. I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't seem to be right.
It's the most talked about story on KXAN.com right now, gaining attention throughout Texas and across the country. Our investigation revealing law enforcement ticketing minority drivers as white. We first told you last week on KXAN News at 10 o'clock how police are supposed to record your race when they pull you over.
It is required by law to show whether officers are racially profiling. Because of what we exposed, the heads of the Department of Public Safety and Austin Police both say they are looking into this inaccurate reporting. New tonight, which KXAN investigator change. Brian Collister asks those representing officers on the street why this is happening.
A DPS trooper pulled over Jose Ignacios Gutierrez last May for speeding in San Marcos. When asked where he was headed, Gutierrez said, taking his parents to Mexico.
So what's the hurry, man?
We have my grandma passed away in Mexico, so we're heading over to Mexico right now.
But instead of putting him down as Hispanic on the ticket, the trooper reported his race to the state as white. Some experts think that's not a coincidence.
Do you think this is deliberate?
I don't believe that it's malicious in the sense of trying to target large numbers of minorities and hide it. But I do think that there may be an kind of individualized, deliberate attempt by officers to kind of protect and cover the frequency of their stops.
Our investigation found troopers inaccurately recording the race of large numbers of minority drivers, mostly Hispanic, as white. Experts say DPS traffic stop data reveals racial profiling reports are likely flawed. The agency blames the problem on a computer issue, but admits troopers are the ones trained to determine the race they record.
Right. I just felt embarrassed, but then I thought, wow, we can fix that.
Sergeant Gary Chandler is president of the DPS Officers Association, which represents troopers.
I can just imagine the public was appalled to think that, that a police officer couldn't tell what race someone was. But I think if they accept the fact that it was a computer programming issue and that it could be fixed instantly.
Do you think that the officers do this deliberately to sort of water down the numbers of who they pull over?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because when the trooper is out there doing his job, I can speak for DPS, they're looking for a violation, the vehicle that makes the violation. And when they pull that vehicle over, whatever human being is driving it is irrelevant.
No, it's
not. We also
found
the same inaccurate reporting from Austin police officers.
I think they've been put into a situation where they haven't been trained on it, and two,
Sometimes you just can't tell.
Detective Ken Cassidy heads up the Austin Police Association. Could it be that they're doing it intentionally to cover up who they're stopping?
You know, you never know. I mean, people do things for weird reasons or wrong reasons. I can't say whether they are or they're not, and I'd be disappointed if they were.
Now, we've also received questions about the distinction between race and ethnicity. Bottom line, these are the options available to law enforcement whenever they pull over a driver. White and Hispanic are both listed. Coming up tomorrow, our investigation continues as we hear from a state lawmaker planning to get answers from DPS directly on why this is happening. Brian Collister, KXAN Investigates.
And coming up tomorrow, our investigation continues.
That's amazing. And when they get asked that question, everybody gonna go, no, no, no.
Yeah, I don't think it could be racism. I don't know.
Right.
Not covering anything up, obviously.
Right. So the only time these Hispanic people benefit being white is when we check this. Any other time they are Hispanic and brown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Any other time, and I probably treat them like they're Hispanic, but when I check that box, you're white.
Well, maybe they're just pulling over a bunch of like Uncle Tom's and shit, you know. Maybe that's what it is. Oh, what seems to be the problem, officer? Oh, I'm gonna put him down. White, okay. Definitely white.
Mm-hmm. And it's racist.
100 for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yale University is in upheaval after alleged allegations of two racially charged incidents. The tension on campus started with a two-sentence post on Facebook by Yale sophomore Nima Githier in reference to a party on Friday before Halloween. I'd just like to take a moment to give a shout-out to the member of Yale's SAE chapter who turned away a group of girls from the party last night, explaining that admittance was on a white girls-only basis, and a belated shout-out to the SAE member who turned me and my friends away for the same reason last year. God bless the USA. Members of the SAE frat have categorically denied turning away any students based on their race and ethnicity. Yeah, SAE.
I don't believe you.
We're familiar with SAE. Okay, guys?
We'll hang a nigga by a tree. I don't believe you. I don't believe you, sirs.
Still, those words caught fire on the New Haven campus, and other students began echoing her sentiments and sharing their own experiences of racism on campus.
Right.
I've been harassed in dining halls, at fraternity houses, and on New Haven streets by Yale fraternity members and male athletes.
When we talked yesterday, you brought it up. You was like, this happens all across the country.
And they don't have a football team to shut down necessarily. Their words, from Charity Chase to ghetto black bitch, continue to echo in my head. Fear paralyzed me as the discussions of my black body and hair turned into taunts and fondling. The day before Gethier's Facebook post, on an associate master, an administrator who oversees students at a residential college, set off another racially charged debate with an email to students about Halloween costumes. Suleiman College associate master Erica Christakis email students in response to an Intercultural Affairs Council email that's called on students to be sensitive about cultural implications of their Halloween costumes. Christakis supported students' rights to dress in any costumes they liked, offensive or not. Is there no room anymore for a child or young person to be a little bit obnoxious, a little bit inappropriate or provocative, or yes, offensive, she wrote. Her comments immediately drew the ire of some students in Silliman and everywhere on campus who claimed that they invalidated the voices of minority students.
Right.
Christakis' husband, the master of Silliman College, Nicholas Christakis, defended his wife's position and that of free speech. Of course. As long as they free to say some shit about your black ass, right?
Right.
A major part of Yale's identity is that its residential college system, the 12 residential colleges, house students for their entire undergraduate experience, including dormitories, dining halls, and gyms. But more than that, residential colleges are a home away from home for students. Masters, the term given to administrators who oversee a residential college, live among the students and invite students into their homes for social events during the year. Against this backdrop, there have been a number of op-eds that have been published by students of color in the YDN and Yale and the Yale Herald, and confrontations between Yale students and the administration, with students voicing their disillusionment with administration and claiming that Yale is not a safe haven for minorities. The two separate events also seem to expose an underlying feeling that students on campus on the campus that Yale is an unwelcoming place for students of color, and that pervasive racism exists at Yale. Being the master of Silliman as a position of power, to use it to marginalize so much of the student body is deplorable, said Jency Pass in an op-ed in the Yale Herald. Paz continued on, speaking about the impact of the email that the emails have had on students at Yale. This email and the subsequent reaction to it have interrupted their lives. I have friends who are not going to class, who are not doing their homework, who are losing sleep, who are skipping meals, and who are having breakdowns. I feel drained. So, yeah.
Yeah, this shit affects adults. So could you imagine 18, 19 year old? I mean, they're technically quote unquote adults.
Right.
But it's just one of those things where, you know, they were a child yesterday and today they're 18. That shit don't disappear, you know, just because your age changes, you know. And it's just one of those things where you're still growing, you're still young, you don't know who you are. Shit, you don't even know what degree you're in. A lot of times you're don't have a major at that time, and just to deal with that stress.
Yep. 0 to 100, Karen.
Oh, 100. And yeah, and the thing is, people spend so much fucking money to go to these universities, go in goddamn debt that they'll be dying paying off to go somewhere to get a degree and be like, well, good for you, you got— I'm not even gonna go there, because it's one of the things that really, 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 really infuriates me when people get into the HBCU and PWI debates and shit like that. It's like, it don't matter where you go. It's one of those things where you're gonna have to deal with racism, but a lot of times you most likely will get it more at a PWI.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the minority.
Mm-hmm.
And not the majority.
All right, that's 100 for me as well, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
Our brother, dear brother, Quanell X is back in the news. He had another Fox face-off with Angela Box. This one about the assault at Spring Valley High.
Well, everyone remembers the video of that police officer pulling the female student out of that classroom in South Carolina. There's been a lot of different opinions, of course, since that video went viral.
Quanell X and political consultant Angela Box tackled this one in tonight's Fox Face Off.
So in South Carolina this week, a police officer lost his job for doing his job by subduing an unruly student in a classroom. Now, the spin is that she had her phone out, she didn't want to put her phone away, whatever. I can guarantee you, as a teacher, this wasn't the first time this has happened, second, third, fourth. I guarantee it. This is no innocent little lamb. And when you have one student, just one, in a classroom, disrupting the class, making life hell for the teachers and the other students, it's impossible for other students to learn. Now, I do agree the cop went too far, but I don't think he should have lost his job over it. I think it's high time we start addressing the root causes of all this, the disrespect of teachers, this Black Lives Matter movement, this perpetual chip on your shoulder against everybody that's not like yourself. It's got to stop. We've got to address the culture.
First of all, let me say that the cop was justified in being terminated, but they should go further. I think the district attorney's office should indict him for assaulting that child. Ms. Box, nobody supports a disruptive student in a classroom because it stops other kids from learning. But what I do have a problem with is men should never deal and handle a woman like the way that cop handled that little girl. To turn that desk over the way he did, grab her around her neck, then grab that child and throw her across the room, that is unbecoming of a man with decent character and conduct. That's unbecoming of the conduct of a police officer. They should have got a school counselor, maybe a therapist on counselor, a therapist on campus with a school counselor, and a mental health officer to come to the school and deal with that child. We don't know what was going on with that kid, but no kid should be disrupted of any learning environment. Now, for you to say that we need to deal with the culture of Black kids in school, let's deal with the culture of these crazy fanatic white boys who go in schools with guns and shoot and kill everybody. Let me finish. Hold on. Wait a minute. Columbine, killing the kids at the elementary school, the shootings in other cities across America have all been crazy little white boys shooting up innocent people. So let's study that culture.
We have the Black culture, unfortunately, which has been run, the Black community has been run by Democrats for the last 60 years and has destroyed the Black family, destroyed initiative, destroyed self-worth. You have kids out there shooting each other. It's not just white kids. Black kids shoot each other all the time.
But wait a minute. You said address the Black culture.
No, address the Black culture.
Let me finish, ma'am.
The perpetual chip on your shoulder.
I didn't interrupt you.
Blame whitey.
Show some manners. I didn't interrupt you. Show some
Don't tell me a damn thing about the black culture kids in school when it's white boys that go in school and murder all kind of innocent
people. I'll tell you what. When
don't
you go,
tell me
when
that.
You go into the
we
inner
need to
city,
study these fanatic white boys.
When you go into the inner city and start teaching there, you let me know, and then you can have something to say about it.
Ma'am, I went to inner city schools.
I taught there.
And guess what? At the end of the day, there's wolves in sheep clothing every day teaching
in black
schools.
Let me tell you something. How dare you say that to me?
It's the truth when it comes to you.
Please.
Ah! Oh my God! Oh! Zero! Zero! I'm not fucking with it at all!
Oh! She was not ready. She was not ready for that.
Oh, did she not have a chance to study the test?
Oh no, she was not prepared. She did not. She thought she was gonna come in and just say whatever the hell she wanted to say. It was like, nah, bitch. We won't talk about culture. Let's talk about culture. You won't talk about race. Let's do this. You got these white boys in here shooting up every fucking body and killing everybody. We won't talk about culture. Let's study all culture, not just the black culture.
Oh my God.
Come on now. Let's study gun culture. I mean, we want to cover it. Let's cover it all when it comes to violence and shit like that. I am with him.
Oh, that was the best thing that's ever happened in life. Oh, my God.
No, he get kudos. He gets a zero.
Yeah, zero, man. Good job, buddy. I love that. Don't get some more of that. They didn't get that nigga his own segment.
That's what I was saying.
Cussing out white women that don't know what the hell's going on.
He was like, I allowed you to talk. Let me talk. Because they real quick on running their mouths. And then the second you talk, they got to rebut everything that you say.
Yep. Oh, all right. Well, let's go into Ball Alert. Hey, yo, I'm looking for a five-star kid talking about. I know, I got it. I'm talking about my old guy, be looking like he just stepped out of my place. I'm a mixtape fly, and a jukebox sweat, and a head bump fat blood. Gotti, he go 12 bars. Gucci man got 9 cars. We don't call him down no more. Oh, now we call him 5-star. 5-star nigga, that's a 5-star click. That's a 645. That's that new M6. Pay her bills, get her hair fixed, might even pay her rent. And the way she give it to me, best money I ever spent. I can't even lie. I'm so super high. Do not need her, will not give her unless she is fly. Gucci man's a thug, yo man is a thug. See, she love me, now she love you not. Now all my bitches love me. If you in Atlanta, call her Gucci Grilla, beat me. You can find a 5-star hotel, you can meet me. 5-star bitch, that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. And that's a 5-star. If your credits go high, feet and nails stay fly, keep your juice box wet, and your head something fire, you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. And you a 5-star. I need a 5-star. All righty then. Oops, I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Here are your choices of chat. Rizzle. Number one. Nice girls. Do they finish last two? Blog by at Buzz with B. 10 places you aren't looking for a woman but should be. Blog by at probably Lauren. Groupie tales, another Ricardo Lockett tale. That's number three. Number four, groupie tales. The gang picks up his groupies at Louis Vuitton store. And let's go. Number five, groupie tales, my first night with Hakeem Warwick. All right, guys. Number one, nice girls. Do they finish last? Number two, 10 places you aren't looking for a woman but should be. Number three, Ricardo Lockett. Number two, that's the second groupie tale, I mean. That's number three. Number four is the game, and number five is Hakeem Warwick. Tally the votes, Karen. Yo, got it out of grade A shit. I'm the realest nigga walking, and this the remix, and I'm still out here looking for a 5-star chick. When I catch her, I'ma bless her with a 5-star kick. She a natural born hustler, she ain't chasing no suckers, only mess with real niggas. She ain't never fucking busting, so your cars and your jewelry, and she really don't excite her. All your hating assholes in the club won't fight her. She was born in the 8 with the school in D.C. Got a job in Dallas, Texas, then she moved to Tennessee. All right. Number one it is. Nice girls, do they finish last two? Y'all been going for the advice lately. I hear you guys. It is cuffing season.
Cuffing.
Nice girls, did they finish last two? Blog by at the buzz with B. You thought you did everything right. You, what was that? I didn't do that.
About something, we got music in the background while we're reading the story.
We probably should have some music in the background. I mean, this sounds like it's gonna be a pretty sad, really sad tale of loneliness and desperation. See if I can find some sad music that you guys can deal with. Oh, I know, the queen of sad, Miss Mary J. Blige. I think you guys I think you guys are familiar with her styling. Let's see here.
Yes.
You thought you did everything right. You kept your standards high. You've always been selective with your sexual partners. You've never willingly been a side chick or smashed any of the homies. You learned to cook and do so well. You've mastered being a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets. You keep your nails and your hair done. You take great care of your skin so that when your highlight and contour is removed, you're still glowing. You have your own transportation and can afford to live comfortably by your own coin. You donate to charities and or pay your tithes. Keeping your self-respect intact is a top priority, and you protect it by any means. None of these things are forced, but innately who you are. You are a nice girl. So why are you getting passed up while Thought Tanya is out here winning? The saying though goes, nice guys finish last, not nice girls. I thought nice girls are supposed to be the first ones on the list to be wiped up and wed. Nice girls are supposed to be the dream girls. Well, clearly someone lied, or they just couldn't possibly anticipate the new wave values of the millennial age. Either way, it's left us nice girls out here feeling deceived.
No shit.
Because when you look to your left, there's that girl from high school who was never supposed to beat you to the altar, but she's been married 3.5 years, has a 2-year-old son, and is pregnant with a baby girl. And when you look to your right and scroll down your timeline, a homegirl with a known checkered past is living a fabulous life, the life you thought was reserved for you. Your frustration builds, and you just want to say, fuck it! Just fuck it! Fuck these morals and these values. These things that were supposed to make you stand out. These things that you pride yourself on having done nothing but put you in the shadow behind girls who never gave a damn about anything or any of that. Let's be real. Nice girls. I think we've all had that moment more than once. But nice girls, don't lose heart. That's who you are and who you've always been. That's who you were made to be. Your day is coming. Now I have absolutely, positively no idea when that day will arrive because I thought I was already supposed to be here. But it's coming. I mean, everything has its day if you wait long enough, right? Maybe, hopefully, can someone confirm? Or should we accept that in this day and age, nice girls simply finish last? Two.
Secretary
working every day of the week. Was that the job when no one else was there, helping you get all your big 11 years of sacrifice? And you can leave me at the drop of a dime, swallow my tears, stood by your side. I should have left your ass 1,000 times.
Hey, all right.
I'm not going to cry, honey.
Here are the comments. Denise Love says, maybe nice girls aren't aggressive enough. Buzz with a B says, didn't think about that. Good point. I was thinking more nice in terms of morals and values, but that could also be a factor. Wow, she's answering her own people's comments. Denise Love goes on to say, we have been taught to sit back and wait for a nice man to marry us. But this ain't the 60s anymore. It's a new day and time. And with women, bad girls making sexuality more of an empowerment tool and less of a moral issue, it's hard to really compete. It's still vital for ladies to keep their values and morals, especially if we want to build a respectable household. However, we must play the game a bit differently than our mothers and grandmothers. By the way, Denise Love has a picture of Janet Jackson with no clothes on in her avatar. Okay. Busby also says, agreed. Finding that balance can be tricky without compromising. There's such a fine line between the two, since we as women get unfairly judged and shunned so harshly for the smallest things. It's possible, though. Also, I didn't touch on this, but oftentimes bad girl wins are short-lived. But that may be a different blog. LOL. Terrell Jones, hating ass Terrell Jones, comes in. I'm sorry, but all bitches are nice when you got money. I've seen the ugliest, dumbest, out of shape niggas get dime pieces all because women want status, wealth, exposure, and the ability to stunt on other bitches. How else can you explain Donald Trump, Lil Wayne, or Birdman? If a woman didn't grow up with you, don't trust them. Always secretly record these hoes the way, what? Always secretly record these hoes. That way, if they ever talk shit, you can pull out the ace of spades, which is the ass eating video.
What is wrong with you?
And then the smiley face he added is a smiley face of a party hat wearing smiley blowing into one of those party things that the paper comes out of. Buzz with a B says, when I see your name pop up in the comments, I know something from left field is coming. Laugh my ass off. And Denise Love said LOL. So there you guys go. That's ball alert for the day. I will say this about this. Everybody thinks they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks they're nice.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a nice girl. You judge people. You fucking... you're snooty, you're stuck up, you look down on people for having sex. It's all written in your fucking, in the subtext of what you wrote.
Right.
You calling people thoughts and shit. Like, you're not a nice person.
Mm-mm. You're too busy judging other people. And the thing about Facebook and social media, a lot of people put this shit out there because, but their lives are fucked up too. You just got an image of people that is far from reality.
Yeah, you're just a lonely person, but you're not nice. You probably just sit around judging people and being boring. You know? So, so what? I ain't got no man. I'm such a nice person. Yeah, everybody thinks they're fucking nice. Get in the line. Ray Rice thinks he's nice.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Hardy thinks he's a nice guy. All right, everybody thinks they're fucking nice. I'm so nice. No, you're not nice. And nice has nothing to do with getting a man or not getting a man. There's a lot of nice women with men, too. What about them, huh? They some thoughts too, because they got men and you don't.
Right. What
the fuck is wrong with you? Anyway, let's just do some guest arrays.
Mm-hmm.
Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Now that it's time for some guest arrays. That's right, it's guest arrays time. Ba-dum-ba-dum. That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, the chat room, to guess the race. And the chat room is racist. All right. Speaking of not nice people, am I right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis County prosecutors have accused a woman from northern Missouri of repeatedly poisoning her son, who's 9, over a period of about a year.
Well, goddamn.
Rachel Kinsella, 35, of Meadville, Missouri, turned herself into authorities Friday morning after being charged earlier in the week with endangering the welfare of a child. Doctors at St. Louis Children's Hospital contacted authorities after the boy suffered symptoms on multiple occasions. Between March 7, 2014 and February 11th of this year at a home in Marlboro. St. Louis County Police discovered that Kinsella was surreptitiously having her son, Patrick, treated at 2 different hospitals and getting prescriptions from both. Wow. She told police she accidentally gave her son the wrong medication and on an occasion, but medical experts said the type and amount of drugs in the boy's system showed intentional poisoning.
Wow.
The medication involved was used for mental health and seizure issues, and that investigators believe she tried to attract attention to herself through her child's illness and what some people call as Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Police said she used the Marlboro address while in the St. Louis area. Gregory Smith, one of her attorneys, and Patrick said Patrick received treatments for multiple medical issues that hospitals where they live, about 220 miles northwest of St. Louis, were not equipped to handle. He said the child's father was deceased. Everyone is shocked. Well, they should look into that. Everyone is shocked to be accused of poisoning your own child. I can't explain that feeling. How do you deal with that? And we certainly don't agree with that, said Smith.
Yeah, who knows? You might have poisoned the baby's daddy, too. You never know.
Yeah. So guess the race of Mrs. Rachel Kinsella, alleged child poisoner, I've heard of these stories before, but.
Yeah, and it's, women to actually get off a high of their children being sick and them getting that attention.
Munchausen by proxy, there was that one girl that had the fucking blog that was about her son being sick, and then they found out she was poisoning him.
Right, why would you do that?
But the meds had more seasoning than her food. White, typhoid, Mary White, blame that damn Obamacare. White, Whitey, Mary, White Mary, White. Had a name for her disease, White. Marshall Mathers' mom, ha! Privileged white lady from the weeds, White. Munchausen by proxy sounds like a woman who wants attention. White lady that needs attention. The correct answer is, she is a white lady. Who's that lady? That's a white lady.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's... like if you look up dictionary.com, she's right next to the Fleek.
Yes, she is.
For white lady, okay. A woman crashed her car into an Oklahoma State homecoming parade.
Oh, shit.
Yep. She's been charged with murder. Adacia Chambers has been formally charged with second degree murder and 46 counts of connection with the car crash at Oklahoma State University's homecoming parade last month. Each murder count against Chambers is punishable by at least 10 years and up to life in prison, the Associated Press reports. Chambers, 25, is accused of running a red light and intentionally driving around a police barricade before crashing into spectators. A judge has ordered a psychological evaluation for Chambers, and Payne County District Attorney Laura Thomas has formally requested a competency evaluation during her booking. According to a cause affidavit signed by Stillwater Police Officer Kurt Merrill, Chambers said she had a history of treatment for mental health issues and felt suicidal at the time of the crash. Guess the race of Adacia Chambers. Adacia, A-D-A-C-I-A. See what the chat room thinks. Just take your sweet ass time, okay, chat room? All right. Is the racism not on Fleek today? White. That name sounds black as hell, but the judge wants to give her a psych eval instead of throwing her in jail. White. Still got in that SAE party that night, though. White.
Oh, Lord.
Andre says white. The correct answer is, and so far everybody got it, white. And let me get her picture here so you guys can see it. But yeah, I mean, if you got suicidal, why the fuck you gonna go kill four other people and run into a parade and shit?
Right.
This ain't Grand Theft Auto, motherfucker.
Right, you don't respawn. Ugh. And they don't either.
What a terrible fucking crime to do, man. They're out there cheering for their football team, getting ready to call all those kids niggers. I mean, come on, guys. Jesus. Let them have their fun. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right, bonus round against the race. So far everybody's all over the place, but it's now double the points, double the race. Let's see who can pull this out. All right, Hashim Pugh, the son of Storage Wars Miami star Kevin Pugh, has been charged with first degree murder after he allegedly shot and killed a family friend during a viewing party.
Oh shit.
Yeah. The woman was 19 years old and looks like he was 23.
A woman is dead and a man was taken into custody in a death that police in Pembroke Pines are calling a homicide. According to police, officers were called to a residence along the 2000 block of North Douglas Road shortly after 10 p.m. Tuesday about a report of a shooting. There, officers found a dead woman inside the residence, according to Captain Anthony Serino. Based on the information from people at the scene, one man was taken into custody.
Upon the officers' arrival on the scene, they did discover a deceased female as a result of gunshot wounds. And a subject was placed into custody based on witness statements as well as additional evidence that was gathered on scene. The suspect's name is Hashim Pugh.
He was booked into Broward's main jail shortly after 4 a.m. The identity of the woman who was killed has not yet been released. Dylan Boucher, SunSentinel.com.
All right, guys, guess the race. Let's check the chat room. See what they think the race is. Mr. Pugh. My daddy rich, I can do whatever the fuck I want, black, says Blue Cat. Wait, that's a black trait. All right. Must got a little bit of a delay. Galactic grasshopper, black, says Carpe Diezums. African booty scratcher, black.
Oh Lord.
Should have gone to How to Get Away with Murder watch party instead. Black. Everybody went with black. The correct answer is black. Man, his dad was on Storage Wars, so I don't know. I guess his dad did have some money. That's crazy.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Let's do one more. How about... how about mother and other parishioners? Wait, where did this go? Are arrested after son is beaten to death in a New York church. Yikes. Police in New Hartford said on Tuesday that a mother and father have been charged with killing their son in a New York church. Well, that's not good. I mean, I guess spare the rod, spoil the child and all that, but...
We continue to follow the investigation into two separate crime scenes, one in Clayville, one in Chadwick's, after a teen turned up at Faxon St. Luke's Hospital in Utica yesterday afternoon and died shortly after from his injuries. Let's take a look at a quick timeline of events. About 12:30 yesterday afternoon, New Hartford police called to Faxon St. Luke's after a 19-year-old male turned up at the ER with extensive injuries. He died shortly after arrival. Then at 4 p.m., a hectic police scene near the Word of Life Church in Chadwick. At that same time, there was also a heavy police presence at a home in Clayville. At 7:30, the 3300 block of Oneida Street in Chadwick evacuated. Then just after midnight, residents were let back into their homes. News Channel 2's Julian Ferris is live outside the Word of Life Church in Chadwick and has more. She's spoken to residents in the area. Jolene.
New Hartford police are the agency not released any new information today beyond what they told us last night. Neighbors, however, are talking, and they tell us it was quite the scene along the stretch of Oneida Street in Chadwick's last night. They say police came around their homes 6:37 o'clock, telling them they were, quote, in the line of fire and had to leave their homes. Ones we spoke with say they didn't come back till around 12:30 this morning. They say police told them it was related to something at the nearby Word of Life Church on Oneida Street. We know there was a police presence at a house in Clayville yesterday as well, and that police earlier in the day around 12:30 were called to St. Luke's for a male brought in by private vehicle with severe injuries. That 19-year-old man did die. Again, we're waiting for more information later today. Another thing we can tell you is that we saw on the Oneida County Jail inmate list on their website that a Deborah and Bruce Leonard were booked sometime overnight on manslaughter first charges. We have no confirmation yet from police whether or not that is related in any way to what's going on here in Chadwick's. But again, hoping for more information from New Hartford Police, the lead agency on this. At some point today, we're on the phone constantly about this. We will have the details, latest details for you on the Live at 5 News Hour and News Channel 2 at 6.
Yeah, according...
Certainly lots of questions unanswered. Thank you.
So, yeah, according to this thing, they beat him during a counseling session.
Shit.
Inside the sanctuary room. The parents are Bruce Leonard and Deborah Leonard, 65 and 59, respectively. In addition, four of the couple's fellow parishioners are charged with assaulting a teenager's younger brother. Both brothers were continually subjected to physical punishment over the course of several hours in the hopes that they each would confess to prior sins and ask for forgiveness. Whew. Man. All right, guess the race of the parents, guys. Bible thumping white. They were trying to beat the liberal out of him, white. White. Aww. Protesting them red cups at Starbucks, white. Got tired of being called by their first name, white. And white. The correct answer is white. Sorry, didn't mean to add a volume up that loud. Here's that picture so you guys can see it yourselves. And let's get into some sword ratchetness and then we'll get out of here, guys. Where's my sword ratchetness sound effects? Bang. Oklahoma City police arrested three people Saturday night after a bloody fight involving a samurai sword. Police said two brothers, Harley and Hugh Thompson, had been kicked out of a residence and all of their stuff had been placed outside. Police were called to that residence and after men reportedly tried to kick down the door, waving the sword. All you heard was, "Papa, don't get me no more."
Right.
Police left the residence because no crime had been committed since it was a civil matter, but when they came back to the home, the situation escalated. According to police, they found Harley and Hugh Thompson covered in blood in a bedroom fighting over a samurai sword. A woman said that Hugh Thompson had stabbed her husband, and Jessica Thompson, who's Hugh Thompson's wife, was in the front yard bleeding from her arm where she had bite marks. Harley told police that he and Hugh were packing their belongings when Hugh attacked him with a sword for no reason. Hugh told police that Harley had swung a hammer at him before the samurai sword was used. Outside, the police said that Harley Thompson and his girlfriend were moving their belongings when something was said, and Harley Thompson attacked Hugh Thompson with the hammer before Jessica Thompson jumped on Harley Thompson's back. A lot of Thompson on Thompson violence.
Apparently so.
The fight finally came to an end after police arrived. Harley and Hugh Thompson were arrested on complaints of domestic assault with a deadly weapon, and Jessica Thompson was arrested on a complaint of domestic abuse by strangulation. That has been your daily update in sword ratchetness. And of course, they were all white. All right, guys, we will talk to you tomorrow, Walking Dead Wednesday. Until then, make sure you guys look for our audio play album on iTunes, and you can search Sunspot and Other Ratchetness, or just our names, either way. And until then, I'll talk to you tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.